Right now, you may be a little nervous because the last time Terry and I were both up here, it lasted like 3 hours.
Yeah, sorry about
that. I promise it'll be a lot shorter this time. But as we've been praying and just asking God to, as he leads our church, one of the things that we want to start doing is about once a month, Terry and I will be co-teaching. One of the main reasons behind that is we don't want to be one, a church that's built on one personality. But two, we talked about this a lot, that the purpose of discipleship and the purpose of the church is to encourage one another, to edify one another. And if you walk away with nothing, we have failed. And so what we want to do, and not just, oh, that was a good point, but literally remembering the message throughout the week. And it just shows that when something is more of a discussion, it actually kind of lasts longer in your brain. You walk away with about 3 to 5% if you just sit there and we preach at you. But if it's like a discussion, you walk away with about 20 to 30%. If you write it down, it jumps even more. And if you walk away this week and you teach someone else what God taught you, you'll remember it 100%. Isn't that kind of cool? So that's why we do this follower, disciple, apostle. It's that purpose of living out your faith. And so that's what we'll be doing. Now, I've had the privilege of speaking for about 15 years. Terry, you've about two?
Two.
So throughout the week, he'll always, when it's his time, he'll be like, hey, so this, or hey, what about this? So this week he asked me a really interesting question. He goes, do you ever preach something that you're not like actually doing? Do you feel hypocritical? And I'm like, no. And he's like, really? What, do you think you're perfect? And I'm like, well, wait, just pause it a minute. Don't judge me already. But this is the thing about the Word of God is, you know, when I come and I share, I've been going over this topic for like a week or two, which means God has been taking me to the woodshed for about 2 weeks. So when I get up here and I share, if I say something, you're like, oh, he's talking about me. I know he must know. No, that's sin in my life that God has been revealing. And so when I try to come up here, no, it is nowhere near perfect. But I want to stand up here going, God has been teaching this to me throughout the week, and this is what I want to share. I'm not the expert, right? Like, there's one expert in our faith. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
The rest of us, we're just trying to figure this out and follow his voice. Now, last week, the lesson I talked about, and we'll talk more about it in a minute, God's really been sharing and showing me this week that how I failed in this. Because we talked about influencing change, and dude, this week, actually, it was about the same time as I was going through it that Sunday. I was trying to influence change by shining my light into somebody's face, and we'll go what I mean by that in a minute. But it's cool how God continues to give us grace and to learn and to just kind of go through that. So last week, we talked about this in John 1. It says this, in him, that's Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Now, this is the most important point. If you get anything from any lesson ever, is that Jesus is the source of light. We are not. We have to go to him for the light. All right? Because none of you is self-existing. Jesus, when he's on this earth, even said, you can't even add another second to your life. And if that's the least of these things, do you really think you're in control? Jesus is the I am. He exists because he exists. We exist because somebody did something, and God allows us to exist. And then he says this, that yet the darkness did not overcome Jesus' light. And remember, we talked about this, that Jesus was perfect, right, and is perfect and never sinned. And we talk about, well, he walked on water? Yeah, he did. Okay? Like, he could read minds. He could do all these things, and he never sinned, and he was in all sorts of situations. And yet the disciple who's writing this, who lived with him for 3 years, he says, when I looked at Jesus' light, he said this, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. We observed his light, his glory. And he says it was full of grace and it was full of truth. And you remember that. Grace comes first. Grace means I'm on your side. Truth is, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. A lot of times we like to put the truth first, and then we're like, well, why are they mad? Well, did they know you were on their side first? Well, no. Well, let's start with, I'm on your side. And then he goes to the truth.
Well, and I think last week you did an awesome job about showing the example. I don't know if you remember this light, this flashlight that he was talking about, how it feels to people that don't know Jesus, the, you know, where you go up to them and you put the light right in their face and you're like, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And sorry, mom, but you're my mom. I can do that. But that light, that a lot of times, even unknowingly, we do that. We go, hey, do you know Jesus? Or we call out someone for something that they're doing to try to lead them to Jesus. But that effectiveness is nothing like what Jesus did. What Jesus did, now, he still called out sin, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later today. But Jesus was more like this. He was the light, but when you walk with Jesus, it's not so, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, it keeps you from bumping in your knee and you stubbing your toe in the middle of the night, or walking on Legos, as you used for an example. Yeah. But this is what we should look like as Christians. We should have that light, and people will be attracted to that versus blaring that flashlight in their eyeballs.
And this is the thing. It's all about a relationship with God. And if you remember last week, we talked about this as Jesus as the rabbi, is that you would live with that person, and you would interact with that person, and they would share and show you, like they would say, hey, Jesus, what's your view on prayer? And he would teach, or what's your view on our fun topic, taxes, or things like that. And he would open up and say, this is how you do this. And so you would literally share that. And this is what's so cool about discipleship, is that it's not about the transference of knowledge. It is about the transfer of a lifestyle. Okay? Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, the disciple is not above his rabbi, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his rabbi. The purpose of shining the light on someone and on their path is for them to become more and more like you. And this is what's cool about this. The thing about following Jesus is we all have something in common. None of us are better than the other person. Because why? We don't have the light. We are all people walking in darkness and have found the light, and we can't come across as better than somebody else. Is there anything more annoying than someone who's holier than thou? Right? Now, this is a discussion. Why does it bother us so much when someone comes across as holier than thou?
I feel like, you know, like you saying your poop don't stink. That's what I feel like they're saying. Like, I know if I walk in after you and you do that, number two, it's going to stink. And so, and I think that's how we feel. We feel like people lift themselves up and they feel like they're better than us, but we know that they're flawed as well as us.
Anyone else?
Somebody's got it. What's that feel like?
A good example when Zai was small and we were at another church, Zai would use inappropriate language in the classroom, in the little classroom. And so when I came and picked him up, the teacher said, we don't say those. Now, I felt like she was saying that, you know, that because we say those words, that's why he says those words. And so her attitude was, you know, we don't say those words in this church. And so knowing that, you know, I didn't teach him that or whatever. So that's it. It was, you know, she was acting holier than thou.
And it just, ugh, right? Good.
I just think we're relational people. And when someone points their finger at you and tells you they're better than you, they don't want a relationship, you know? Mm. And so when someone does that to me, I crave relationship and I hate judgment, you know? Mm. So I just get repelled by that because of that. So.
Yeah, I liked what she said. I hate judgment. Does anyone, we like giving judgment. I think we're all good at that, right? But we don't like getting it back. I think also, we got to be careful, because have you ever, like, you know, you're on fire for Jesus and you're changing things in your life and you bring up something to somebody and they're like, well, you're just holier than thou. And you're like, no, like, I'm really trying to change. So we got to be careful, because sometimes in our nature, we like to judge others and say, well, you're just coming across as holier than thou, because it's convicting us. So we got to kind of balance that out. But here at the main thing, and this is what I love about Christianity, is we all have to follow. None of us are the example. We may set an example, but that example is always broken. We all have to be followers of Jesus. I want to share with you guys my story. Right here is an open book. A couple years ago, actually it's more than a couple, One of the guys who mentored me in the faith said, Blake, listen, your life needs to be an open book, which means blank, nothing written on it. And when you come to Christ, you're giving him your book saying, you write my story. Many of us, or I know for me, I like to write my story and then say, God bless it, right? So growing up in church, I grew up in that era that, man, John 3:16 was preached every Sunday. And that's a great verse. And it talks about that God loves us so much that he sent his son so that we can have eternal life. The problem was that I was taught that pray this prayer, do whatever you want, live your life. Now, don't be like a bad person or get caught doing bad things, right? And then when you die, you get to go to heaven. And I lived in that fear because guess what? I know what I do. I know my thoughts. I know that if there's a line, I'm going to step as close as I can because I'm going to get as much as I can. And I lived in this guilt throughout my teenage years because I knew what I thought about. And I knew how I played the game. When I came to relationships, I wanted to call the shots. You know, the Bible says purity, but I define purity as, well, just don't get her pregnant, right? Don't get caught, right? That's not what the Bible says. But I wanted to lead my life. God told me how to do this. God told me, but no, God, listen, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live the American dream. I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to have a good life. Will you bless it? The problem with that, there's nothing wrong with being blessed financially. What's wrong is when you're calling the shots, or at least in my life, that's what I learned. I was in control, not God. And so God started all throughout my teenage years, I had no stability, no foundation, because it was all about me. And I make a horrible, terrible God. Now, I remember at 18, this is going to sound weird. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you're like, what do you mean God talks to you? But if you've ever had a relationship with God, you know that it's not an audible voice. There's just something in you. Maybe it's a Bible verse or just that small voice just telling you something's wrong. Now, I remember I was on a missions trip to Mexico, and throughout the whole trip, I just remember God going, do you want to know me? Or do you just want to not go to hell because it's really hot? And that's an easy sell, right? And I just remember finally going, God, take my life, write my story. You're in control, not me. And I can tell you what the story he has written, I wouldn't have wrote it. But man, it has been amazing. It's not always been perfect. But man, when you're living in the light and God is blessing your path, doesn't mean it's always easy, but it means God gives you a net vision for the next day. And when you're in that light, you can help others. And I can tell you countless stories of how God has been able to use me to bless others because I'm not writing my story anymore, and it's no longer about me. I had to learn how to follow him.
My picture is going to look a little different than that. Mine's my barber chair. That's what reminds me of what God has done. I got saved at 13, but I didn't stay there very long. You know, like when I was being raised up, it was like that turn to burn. Like if you find Jesus, you don't have to burn in hell forever, which that's kind of true. But Jesus is a loving God. And so I got saved because I was scared, but I feel like it was sincere because I really wanted what God had for me. But almost immediately I walked away from it. And up until like I was 35, up until about 10 years ago, and there were so many things that I did. Oh my God. Now, the good thing about God is that he didn't take away all of my blessings, because you can look at this row right here. I'm very blessed. For 10 years, I've had a wonderful wife and beautiful kids, great mom. And so he didn't kill all of my past. I still was blessed, but all of the bumps and bruises because I was trying to do it by myself. So I go to sell this one dude some insurance, Terry, and all of a sudden he gives me some Jesus. So I go, Courtney and I went to high school together. I go over to his house and I'm like, I'm all about the money. I'm all about the money at the time. I owned a bunch of restaurants. I don't know if it was before or after that. It was in the middle. I don't know. But, I just wanted the big house. Da, 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 da. And I went to say, hey, man, you get this insurance, man. I'll hook you up. You know, he's like, Hey, Terry, you know, what's your life like, brother? I mean, how you been living? Soft, gentle, not like light in your face. And I began to change after that. And then after I got rid of the restaurants and everything, I wanted to do something different. And my wife was a hairdresser, so I said, well, let's go buy a salon. And then we got in the salon, and I'm like, I don't want to buy it, because if it burns down, all I got to do is call the owner and say it's on fire. It's not my responsibility, right? So, but what God did with all of that stuff, he brings me back. I get my license. I stand behind that chair. And when you come in my cave, you don't get slapped with Jesus. I'm not that guy. Because I know what that feels like because I did it for so long. I'm not that guy at all. I might not even mention Jesus for the 3 or 4 haircuts. I'm going to build a relationship with you. Slowly but surely, I'm going to see what makes you thrive and where your heart is. And then I'm going to start sharing. And eventually, I get people that come because they realize it's not about me. And I realize I'm not, nobody, you shouldn't, you're not imperfect, you're not horrible. But there is something. There's something out, you don't want to get that divorce, bro. I tell you what happens when you do that. It's not good. You don't, but listen, I'm not saying you're a horrible person if you do. Because I've been bumped a few times until someone came alongside me and showed me the light.
And that's what we love so much about the gospel, is that it changes you, and it's about your story. I want to tell you about another story. In John chapter 1, we're introduced to Nathanael, who's behind a fig tree. So if you got, Linda came to me today, and she goes, are you teaching kids today when she saw all the items? I'm like, no, I don't have really good board art skills. So yes, it looks like a kid's lesson, but you know what? We can all learn and write down notes, right? So I want to introduce you guys to another person that has a little bit story different than mine and Terry's. His name was Nathanael. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he went and he got disciples and he was calling them to follow him. And one day, after he got baptized, John, who had his disciples, he looked at Jesus and he basically said, follow him, not me. And a couple of those disciples followed after Jesus. And one of them, Philip, he went and he found his buddy Nathanael. Now, they were from a rival city of Nazareth. It was Bethsaida. Now, that city was by the Sea of Galilee as well. And when Philip went and found his friend Nathanael, he said, dude, listen. I've been listening to this guy named Jesus. He is from Nazareth. And I believe, I know, he fulfills the scripture. He is the Messiah. And the first thing Nathanael could say was, does anything good come from Nazareth? Now, the reason why he's saying this is that they were rival towns. It'd be kind of like saying, does anything good come from St. Louis? Right? Like, anything good? Or, does anything good come from north of the river? Or vice versa, right? You know what I'm saying? Or does it get under your nerves when, I remember in the World Series and in 2014, and the reporter goes, live from Kansas. And I'm like, no, you're not. Right? You're in Missouri. You know, welcome to the great state of Kansas. No, welcome to the great state of Missouri. So that's kind of that, like, that rivalry where, and so he's like, can anything good come from that area? And I love Philip's response, and I'm horrible at this because I'm a fighter. Like, if you like know you're wrong, I'm like, oh, okay, we can start going down facts and memories, and I'm gonna start bringing things up. And when I get hysterical, I can get historical. Anyone like that in here? When you get mad, you bring up things from a fight from 15 years ago? Anyone? No one? Fine. Well, thank you, Chris. And I get even, the angrier I get, the better my memory gets. So, what I love about Philip is he didn't say, well, Nathanael, let's go get through the Bible. He goes, just come and see. Like, just come and see for yourself. Nathanael shows up, and Jesus goes, look, here is a Jew, an Israelite, who has no deceit. Literally what he just said was that this dude, if you could have a relationship with God by being a Jew, this is him. If you can have and go to heaven and have all those things and have a fulfilled life by being a Jew, follow Nathanael. He has no deceit. Nathanael goes, who are you and how do you know this about me? You've not even met me. And then Jesus says, dude, I knew you and I saw you back under the fig tree. And we don't know what that meant. We don't know if he was like there or that's where he goes for his quiet time or he just whatever. But for some reason, that sparked something in Nathanael where he goes, dude, you're God, I'm following after you, this is it. And Jesus goes, you haven't even seen anything yet. What I love about Nathanael, a lot of us would look at him and go, he's holier than thou. Listen, the Son of God said he was holy. Like, that's a pretty good bar, right? And yet, you know what he had to do? He had to follow Jesus. So even if you think, oh, I'm a good person, I do these good things, guess what? You still got to follow Jesus. Because you are not the light.
This next guy, I think we give bad descriptions of him when we're preaching about Matthew, or Levi, as he's called in the Bible. He was a tax collector. So when I say tax collector, how does that make you feel? He's a tax collector.
I don't like taxes.
Yeah,
but
I don't like paying them either. But, I mean, it doesn't really, you know, it's not. And trust me, I for 2 weeks I've been trying to find an example of how people felt about Matthew. And my wife told me I couldn't use one, so I'll leave that one out. But listen, I'm telling you, this guy was like, he was like the kid in school when you like spit wad at somebody and the teacher's like, who did that? And everybody's like, this Matthew was the guy who was like, it was Terry, he did it. You know, he was that guy. Or he's the guy that's in jail snitch. The one that talks about, hey, you know, turn someone in. But what made it worse about Matthew is he was doing that to his own people. He was doing that to like his brothers and sisters, his relations, to his own people. He was turning his back on them. He was taking taxes from them. And then when he was taking taxes, he was getting a little bit more than that because, you know, he had a big house. He had a lot to pay for. You know what I'm saying? And people knew that he was doing this to him. So So Jesus, it says, after this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi, which that should just twist your gut, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. Then Levi hosted a grand banquet for him at the house. Now there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were guests with him. And this is so cool. This is what I want you to get. But the Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to the disciples, why did you eat and drink with the tax collectors and the sinners, you know? I mean, they were the holy of holy, right? And then Jesus replied to them, it's not to those who are healthy who need a doctor. It's for those that are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Now, a couple things are going on right here. So can you imagine being Matthew? Like, he's at this place and, you know, the Pharisees ask Jesus this question. And he's like, I'm not here for the sick people, you know, the ones with cooties. And Matthew's either got to be like, well, you could have said I had a cold or something. You didn't have to say cooties, Jesus. Or he was like, yeah, you're right, Jesus. I was not a good dude. Right? But the point is, Jesus called out his sin. He did. But he had loved on him. He met Matthew where Matthew was and said, come with me. He didn't say, ksh. He still loved him. And as a matter of fact, Matthew felt so loved by Jesus that he brought all his partners with him. All the other tax collectors and the pimps and the prostitutes. They all came to his house and kicked it with Jesus. Meanwhile, the Pharisees, why are you eating with the sinners and such shit, right? Like they're trying to live like I'm all holy and I don't do anything wrong. Jesus, why would you? Jesus called them out. Because he's like, hey, we're not here for the people that are healthy. And hey, I just got on the scene. And I'm on the scene. I call this guy, he follows me, and he brings a house full of people, and I'm loving on them. What are you doing? Aren't you supposed to be bringing them here? When's the last time we actually helped someone get here instead of look down our nose and said, hey, you know, that drinking too much is just terrible. It's terrible. You shouldn't do that. Instead of doing that, let's love on them. Let's show them the light, and let's bring them to Jesus.
So again, with Matthew, and what I love about this, and we cannot forget this, is that we're not the light, but when you get it, you need to make sure you're sharing it. You know, Matthew, he invited everyone he knows, and sometimes I think in modern-day Christianity, we want the healthy relationship. We want God to bless all of our stuff, but it can't stop there. You need to look at opportunities of how you could bless somebody else. So I want you to think through this. What image, if you could think of your relationship with God, and you were going to share your story with someone else, what image would you share? Is it an open book? Is it a barber chair? And we did this for a purpose. We're trying to teach and show an example of when you're witnessing to someone. It's not really offensive if I say, hey, is your life an open book, a believer or a non-believer? It's like, hey, are you in control? Or, hey, a barber chair. I know it sounds kind of silly, but we all have that story. And just think through, how could I relate that to somebody else? Now, what's really cool is God must really, really want us to understand this idea that it's not about us and it's about the light. Because last Wednesday, my wife came home from the ladies' gathering, and she goes, man, she goes, Stephanie did a great job. And I go, well, tell me what was the story about? And she goes, well, there was these two ladies from two completely different backgrounds sharing the same lesson, and they shared their story. My wife has no idea what this sermon was going to be on this Sunday. And literally, we've been working on our two stories and sharing. And she goes, now, one of the ladies came out of prostitution, and the other lady had a great life. And as they're sharing their story, the lady with the prostitution was like, I knew I needed Jesus, and I changed my life. And now she has a ministry witnessing and making disciples out of ladies in that industry. The other lady said, you know what? I lived a life that was so clean, I didn't even think I needed God. But I found out later that we both had to follow. And literally, as my wife is telling me this story, I'm like, okay, we really need to pay attention, church. Because if he's going to share the same lesson in the same week without us organizing this, we need to understand we're not the light. But I want you to, this week, I want you to be praying about who could you share your story with. And it may not be from salvation or all that. It may just be how you learned a lesson about parenting. Man, or share what God's been doing recently in your life. Sometimes I think we make it scary, like it's got to be from, you know, all the way to get them out of hell. Sometimes it's just building that relationship. But we should be looking for opportunities to share the light. And here's the thing. Sharing our faith is really hard. Any of you get nervous when you do it? Okay. Yeah, it's extremely, but just think through this. You can't save them. You can't. You know why? You're not the light. All you're doing is walking and doing life with them. And when you've earned that opportunity because they ask you a question or they trust you enough to listen, you then open up and you can maybe share your image, that thing that represents you, or share the story. But more than anything, point them to the light. Because that's what we do. We are not the source. He is. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I'm so thankful that I am not the light. God, I was a horrible God for my own life. And I'm thankful that you're such a compassionate and loving God. And I thank you for your people here. God, as you send us out this week, I pray that we would look for opportunities to share your light, because we're not the light, you are. And I thank you that you came down, Lord, and shared your light that was full of grace, and that was full of truth. God, we love you and we thank you. And in your son's name, amen.